Call 911 Bigfoot help.
Calling 911 Bigfoot help.
Hello.
Hello, Wyman. How are you?
I'm still alive.
Great. Are you able to do a conversation with me?
Well, I was hoping to, yeah.
That sounds great. I'm ready.
You're ready.
But first, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, yeah. Well, I've been thinking about this 2015 timeline in which you sent me updates, and we put it in. And I think I'd like to read it to you and see what comments you have.
Okay.
Feel free to stop me, and we can go back to certain parts. Now, the interesting thing about 2015 is it was the first year you realized this was happening, and you started noticing things late in the year. So this is shorter than all the years that come after it. Some of the years that come after it, we'll probably have to do mini episodes to capture it all. It's going to be, we'll just enjoy it and take our time, and it's going to take some time. But this one's quick, but it's the first one. So let me read to you what you have. 2015 timeline in the Wyman Smith storyline section. December 17, 2015, one cold day. My dogs were barking, seriously. They obviously had saw, smelled, or sensed something unusual. Maybe a bear? I remembered hearing something about a year earlier that sounded like two bears fighting. The odd part of these fighting sounds was that when the growling ended, it was an abrupt ending. No other snarls or growls. For some reason, this seemed odd to me, like it was only one animal and not two. So when I heard my dogs barking like this, I grabbed my flashlight, a 200 lumen light, shined it all around out front, and saw some eye shine. Before I continue, you want to share about how you were hearing sounds in December of 2015?
You know, that sounded really, really good. And I do remember that. And, you know, I thought it kind of sounded like two bears fighting, but maybe it could have been an adult and a younger Bigfoot arguing over some food or something. I don't know. Maybe they had killed a deer and the little one was trying to eat before it was his time.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I do remember that, and that was really an interesting fact, yeah.
So you remembered it.
Really,
huh? You heard it on this night and remembered it from a time earlier than that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like I heard a bunch of...
That sounds like communicating to me.
Well, huh, I didn't think so.
Oh, okay.
A lot of times communicating, they did tree knocks, and I didn't hear much. Most of the communicating I heard was like real kind of low. Yeah. Something like that,
That was really good.
And I've heard stuff like that probably two or three different times, yeah. Maybe four.
Would you, what should we call these Bigfoot people?
The what?
Should we call them the Bigfoot or the Bigfoot people?
Yeah, you could call them Bigfoot people. A lot of people call them their neighbors,
Forest people.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Well, whatever we call it, we will call it. And the reason why we think this is Bigfoot people or a Bigfoot person is what happens next. You say, this was not normal eye shine. No, this was red eye shine and only one eye. I thought, what has red eye shine? So tell us about that one red eye.
Yeah, I was really surprised because it was a fairly large eye, and it was, I'm going to say, 125 yards away. And it was at least as big as a deer's eye and possibly larger. It was really unusual. I never seen anything that bright red.
Sounds like the eye was pretty big.
Their eyes are, and they seem to get bigger if they get intense, like you're shining a light on them or something. And that was old One Eye. We named him One Eye.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is I saw him again, and then I seen him like a year later or so out on the back road. And that was really interesting because the part about that was it looked like somebody walking down the road and back there where we parked the truck when you and I went on that little excursion.
Yeah.
Looked like somebody walking down the road back there with a little dim flashlight, and I shined a light on it, and it stopped and looked at me, and that red eye got great big, and I said, oh my gosh, that's a Bigfoot. And then he went on down the road, he looked away, and that was it. But yeah, that was really interesting. And so what I had going on there was we had eye glow, and then when they turn and look at you, you get a brighter reflection. The eye glow isn't real, real bright usually that I have seen. And I've seen it several times.
And so, eye glow is an illuminating source from the actual eye?
Yeah, it's some kind of light coming out of their eye so that they can see in the dark.
I like that you said about a year later you saw it up there on that road, because you have a timeline for that year also. So later on I'll look and I'll find that encounter.
Okay.
You said you were standing by your house?
I was standing outside that time.
And that road being, through some trees and a little bit up the hill,
and it would have been, you know, when the leaves were off the trees.
And seeing a person that big with eyes that were glowing.
Just one eye.
Again, just one eye. Okay.
Well, yeah, that was old One Eye again.
Well, check this out. After your first encounter, December 27th, 2015, 10 days later. Now, I'm fully convinced after many, many months of investigating red eye shine on YouTube that when I first saw this red eye shine back in early December of 2015, that I was totally unaware that I was viewing Sasquatch. And it was right here, where I am living, and I saw it, right from my front porch. It was about 130 to 180 yards away from me, and my flashlight just was not powerful enough for me to make out the form of this creature at that distance. Would this freak you out? Well, it did me. The second sighting of this one-eyed monster was only about 10 days later. Again, my dogs were warning me. I guess they needed another deer to eat. I took this same flashlight out to look around, and what I saw really freaked me. There was the creature, with one red eye, but this time it had two white eyes about 10 inches above the red eye. So just try to explain this to someone and see how they look at you. That's quite amazing.
Very good description.
It continues with, they'll probably say something like, hey man, what were you smoking? Because I want some of that stuff. Laugh out loud. And I really appreciate a good sketch because it's fresh from the mind of the person that saw it, and it really helps. So this continues with, well, this sketch is the best explanation I can come up with for what I saw. Two white eyes and a red eye about 10 inches below the two white ones. In the picture, I can see why there were two white eyes. You want to explain?
Well, I thought about this and several times and come to the conclusion he had killed a deer and had it held by maybe the horns over his back, and the head come over and was above his head, and so the dead deer's eyes will reflect. If an animal dies, they usually die with their eyes open, and I've shot coyotes and had their eyes shine still, you know, glow at me after they were dead, and it's just a reflection within the eye. So I figured he had killed a deer and had it up over his back and the head facing forward above his head. And I figured that's what that was a dead deer that he was holding. And he just looked at me one time and turned away and walked away. I didn't see it again, where the first time I saw him, looked at me, and then it looked away. And then I'd say about 3 seconds, it looked back, and I saw the red eye twice that first time. And I come to the conclusion also that this creature had something happened and poked one of his eyes out, and he only had one eye. And later we named him Old One Eye.
Right.
So, yeah.
With future investigation on your part, you've learned there's multiple personalities out there, probably a family grouping. And we've learned that a family grouping means sometimes somebody gets kicked out. From recent sources, I've learned that there are family groups, and those family groups belong to a clan, and it's the clan that will kick one of them out, with possibly jockeying for dominance. I think we've assumed there was probably a fight.
I don't remember, but I do know that I think if the younger ones try to do some of the breeding, it's kind of like with a cougar family. The male cougar will run the younger males off. And I think it's the same thing with the Bigfoots. If they want to take into some of the breeding, they're not allowed to. It's all saved for the older one, the largest, the toughest. And so, yeah. But yeah, later I got to believe that there was about 6 or 8 of them up there. I figured they had a den or something way up the hill above my house.
I've always wondered about up the hill. And maybe,
oh, man.
Maybe someday we'll
Long
walk up
based.
There.
Yeah, I had a neighbor that's deceased now, and he had a couple of dogs back up behind my house, but further towards the west. And a lot of times when my dog would bark at these Bigfoots, and they didn't have to see them, they could hear them or smell them in the back of my property or even behind my property, going up the hill, and they would go past those other dogs, and his dogs would bark at him also. And I stopped and talked to him about that once, that he wasn't convinced, but he knew, he was in agreement that something was causing his dogs to bark at certain times, and a lot of times it was he had heard my dogs bark, and then he'd hear his dogs bark, and they were headed up the hill. So going back up to where they lived.
Does someone else live there now that he has passed away?
No, I don't believe so.
It's been really good how you can talk with the neighbors and compare thoughts.
Yeah, some of them will talk, some won't.
So
and there's certain I won't talk to them about, you know.
Yeah, so that sounds like they know more than they're saying.
Sometimes they do, but sometimes, like, there's a single woman, and she doesn't want to hear it because it scares her.
Yeah.
And so, but she knows. I could tell from the little bit I talked to her about it that she's heard something a few times and just didn't want to admit. They don't want to admit that something's there because it scares them too bad, and they can't hardly, you know, stay there and live. And for a single woman to live out here in the hills like this by herself, it's pretty tough woman, pretty scary, pretty tough. This can be spooky up here, real spooky.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk more about the dogs, but I'm going to finish reading your account of this situation. So you continue to say, so you can see from the drawing that one eye is not a cyclops, but a Bigfoot that is missing its right eye. Amazing. This has to be a first in all the Bigfoot sightings ever reported. Note, I had moved here approximately 7 years before this occurrence took place. I had no idea that any of these creatures were around here. And those words were in bold. Until over a year later, when a large rock hit the south side of my house about 1:30 a.m. one night. It hit with force, not something a human could do. Actually, the way my dogs had started barking more and more and more seriously, which was my first real clue that I did not pay close enough attention to. Also, one of my neighbors who lived at the end of the road called me one day and informed us that our dogs were barking differently, like they were scared, he said. Please pay close attention to your dog or dogs and trust them. That's the end of 2015. Now, in this final paragraph, you really say a lot.
You know, this is off the subject, not off the subject, but this last week, 10 days, my dog here has been doing a lot of barking. Like there's something out there, and I don't know if he's barking like he's scared or not, but you know, Sherry just left yesterday and in the afternoon.
Right.
And
you had a visitor, a guest.
And the whole dog, yeah, the dog was barking. The dog was, you know, she noticed how much he was barking more than normal. And sometimes I would take a light, go out and look around, but I couldn't see anything. But I know something was out there because the way he's barking. I mean, he's barking seriously in for an hour and a half, maybe, you know, with a couple of small breaks in between, maybe 2 or 3 hours. That's a lot of barking.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back to all the barking over the years. And over the years, you get used to why certain things happen, like you're collecting data different times of the year or for certain reasons. Maybe it's a good time to share about Bigfoot creatures approaching your dogs.
Boy, you know, that was really something. I did see one time my other dog, Chloe, she acted like something had, well, didn't act like, she had a big dirty patch on her back, or somebody with a real dirty hand put their hand on her back and petted her.
Wow.
That was, yeah. And I noticed that on her one time. But, you know, I found her suffering from when they make that sound with their mouth that we can't hear.
Oh, the infrasound?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd found her hit with infrasound probably 3 different times. And I mean, she was hit so hard that she was laying on her side about knocked out. I mean, I had called her and couldn't find her. And I went outside and shined a light and found her laying in my compost. And she was laying on her side. And I thought she was dead. And I talked to her, walked up to her, and her tail wagged just a little tiny bit, just up and down a little bit. And then I went over and saw her and petted her a little bit. And she got to where she could raise her head up just a little bit. And after, you know, staying there with her like 10, 15 minutes, finally she stood up. But she was like she was drunk. She couldn't, she was dizzy and unstable as far as trying to walk. Staggering, that infrasound is damaging.
And you say this happened a couple of times already, and then the big time happened.
Well, yeah, about three different times that I've seen that. And then I saw that handprint on her back. That really surprised me. I don't know how they did that, but.
And you already know that's something she doesn't do herself.
Right, right.
I'm curious about the DNA in that handprint. Yeah.
You know, I have all kinds of DNA, like the weeds, sticks that they may have found.
Yeah, the dirt.
The dirt, the all kinds of things that they did. Moving things and stuff, there should be DNA on it. And the hairs, it's, you know, it could be several things that have DNA on them, you know?
Yeah. We hear how Bigfoot people smell sometimes, smell really bad, but I never thought of them as dirty, except if you think about it, we don't know if they bathe, and that would be a lot of body odor, a lot of sweat. But I never thought of their hands being dirty, but they likely would be.
Yeah. They have the Columbia River here. And I think, you know, right here, some people say, oh, they don't have any food. Well, there's a bunch of orchards right over the hill. And I mean, there's a couple miles down there, but that's not very far for them to go. Plus, the Indians have nets where they kept salmon in there. They could go in the water and catch salmon or take them out of the Indian nets and eat in the orchards, berries, peaches, apples, just about anything you can imagine. There's food all over there. And there's a few people over there too. So I'd say those people have had to see them or signs of them or footprints in their orchard. It just, those people over there, I haven't talked to any of them, but I think they really do have frequency of them being around there.
Now I'm curious to try and research stories out of that area. I'm also curious about the possibility of all the fish from the Columbia River.
Yeah, the salmon come up through there several times. Plus, there's always, you know, bass and walleye and sturgeon and things in that river. There's just lots of fish in there. Big source of food. And what's his name? Wes?
Yeah.
Gal that was down by the steel bridge, I think. And she said she used to see him come up out of the river in the morning, shake off and walk up and up the bank and across the road and go on up the hills. And she'd see him do that quite frequently.
So an interview on Sasquatch Chronicles with Wes Germer, an eyewitness account of Columbia River activity and the hills around there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty sure you were listening to Sasquatch Chronicles before I learned of them. You may have been the reason I found Sasquatch Chronicles.
Well, once I started figuring out that there was these creatures here, then I started wanting to learn about them. And I spent a lot of time listening to interviews on YouTube. One of them was Sasquatch Chronicles. And, but you know, it's the people there that was seeing them and things. They really, a lot of people really have seen them. And like later years, there was a camera, a highway cam south of Hood River that had spotted a Bigfoot, alongside the road by the guardrail. They had picked it up on the camera. So just south of Hood River, the last camera, it was on an on-ramp is where it was, and probably on the west end. And so, yeah, there's been times when somebody saw one cross the freeway there, and it was raining, and there was a bunch of cars that saw one crossing the road there in the rain. Lots of people saw that one, and a number of them were police officers. Like if 15 people saw them, about five or six were police officers, sheriffs or whoever had seen that one. That was, you know, that was years ago.
Some trustworthy sightings, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, some would ask, why do they cross the road so often and take a chance of being seen? Well, I could phrase it differently. How often do they cross that we don't see them? Probably a lot.
Yeah, I think sometimes, and I've heard it said, that I think sometimes they want to be seen.
I think you're right.
So, yeah.
I really like the Bigfoot documentary called A Face of Beauty, Bigfoot Revealed. And in it, there's these two friends that are out in the woods, and they said, we saw what looked like Bigfoot, and it was looking at us, and we just know that if we'd had a camera, it wouldn't have let us see it, but we think it wanted us to see it. So, and others have said that. It's as if they wanted that connection, briefly.
There was another guy who was a hunter, and he had his own program when he would go out hunting, and he hunted different ways. He hunted sometimes with a bow and arrow. Sometimes he would shoot ducks out of the air with a bow and arrow, or he would use a blowgun and shoot squirrels and pigeons and stuff. He just did all kinds of different things. Sometimes he hunted with a spear. Anyway, he was out archery hunting and had a guy with him running the camera. And his guy running the camera said, "Big bear, big bear." And it looked, and he saw a Sasquatch looking at him. Just out from behind a tree about 75 yards away looking at him. And he looked back and saw it, and he grabbed the camera out of the cameraman's eyes and took off on a run after it. And he never saw it again, but the cameraman did pretty good getting good picture of it.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, and that, you know, I mean, wow. That's, man.
Yeah. I've come to the conclusion that when I go out and I found some people to go out with, we just got to set up the time, and they have a very high likelihood of seeing something. So do I take a camera? No. I'd rather see it with my eyes and then maybe do a drawing, because I just have a feeling it's not going to show itself if I have a camera around my neck.
Well, I've gone out with cell phone, and I've taken pictures out of my vehicle of them, and I've been out walking around and saw one looking at me between two trees, and I noticed it. I wasn't sure it was a Bigfoot, and I only took two pictures of it. I should have taken more pictures, but, you know, it was far enough away that later on when I looked at the picture, I didn't really look at the picture that day or the next day or anything like that. It seemed like it was a week or so later I was looking through those pictures and went, oh my gosh, that was a Bigfoot looking at me between those two trees. What? And I could see some of his red eye shine, you know, because he was a little bit in the shadows. So anyway,
I'm trying to remember through the timelines which encounter that was. Tell me a little bit more so I can remember
Sherry and I were out walking around looking for him, and there was three big trees, two of them side by side, and then about a foot and a half, 2 foot space between a couple of them. And this Bigfoot just put his head over in that space and looked at me. And I couldn't see any of his body down below that, just his head sticking out. And
I remember now. I remember that picture. There's like a head looking between the crux of the tree.
Right. And that was really good. And the funny thing is I didn't mark where I was when I took the picture, and I didn't remember exactly where I was, but, you know.
Was this the Gifford Pinchot National Forest?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of I just recently heard of something about somebody disappearing over there. Believe it or not, I don't know if you want this on there, but
sure.
There was a woman over there on this TV show I was watching, and it was on YouTube, I think. And she wanted to have this kind of experience of something. I'm not sure what. But she went out there and camped by herself and told her friends what she was going to do. And she ended up disappearing. But she was like 19 or 21. And she wanted to go out there naked, barefoot, whole, and look for, I think, Bigfoots and see what happened. And she vanished.
I think she found ones that were not good.
She may have. Or maybe she thought she could go be with one or something. And
oh, maybe. We have heard that they sometimes pursue fresh DNA.
Yeah. So I just heard that about 2 days ago.
What shows are you listening to these days?
I've been listening to a lot of the, they call them near-death experience.
Yeah.
Where people have died and gone to heaven, and then God sends them back, you know, after a minute or 5 minutes or half an hour or even longer. One guy was out for 11 hours and he come back, and it's so amazing because when people think about those experiences that people have like that, a lot of times they're considered legally dead if it's over 5 or 6, 7 minutes or so, or 10 minutes. And when they come back into their body, they're brain dead, their body, their heart, everything stopped. And God does such a great miracle. He brings all those things back, and they're not brain, they're not like they're brain dead or anything like that. It's such a miracle for him to take a person who's been dead for an hour and then bring them back to life.
Yeah,
or dead 5 hours and bring them back to life.
That is pretty amazing. Is there a podcaster or YouTuber that you get those shows from?
Randy Kay is one of them.
Randy Kay.
He has a program, and he says over 1,000 people. And in these end times, I think that God is showing us a lot of amazing things with sending so many people back. And, you know, it's different. We have ways of saving people better than we did 200 years or 300 or 500 years ago. That we can save people nowadays, but back then they didn't know how to do CPR or any of that. And now God's sending them back a lot of times, and a lot of people are experiencing these near-death experiences, they call them, where they've gone to heaven, seen angels, or gone to hell and seeing demons. It just depends. It's
amazing to think of going to hell and being allowed to come back.
Yeah, amazing. It's wow.
And you say these occurrences are happening more and more, which could be a sign of the end.
Oh yeah. Yep, I think it is, definitely. My opinion.
Okay. To transition, there was a time recently you told me about an angel battling a dog man. Do you remember? Oh. Do you remember which podcaster that was?
I don't remember the name, but there was one broadcaster that was having these stories, people having these experiences with Dogman, and he pretty much did just Dogman. He didn't do Bigfoot hardly ever or anything else.
Oh, okay. Right. I could research that. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of Dogman podcasts.
They're scary. They're so evil. I think they're demons, but yeah, they're big and vicious.
Never ever is there a story of one that's good.
No, never. But this angel ended up appearing, and these two guys that saw this, that experienced watching this angel, the one guy there had killed one or two dog men himself, two different occasions. He killed one, and then him and a few other guys, four other guys, went out looking for him, and they ended up finding a whole group of them, about six, and they shot three or four of them. And what happened is they were there to kill him because he had killed one of them. And it was like, I don't know, they knew who he was and they wanted to kill him. But him and his buddy shot, you know, two or three more. And they ended up killing him. And then this guy had a friend with him, and he didn't even take a gun. He just took a camera and a pair of binoculars, I think. And his buddy had a rifle, and they were out. All of a sudden, this dog man kind of appeared and was going along, and they saw him. And the dog man didn't see them yet. They saw the dog man. And the one guy said, "Should I shoot it?" And he said, "Don't yet, don't. And then all of a sudden, out from between some trees come this angel. And this angel looked at the dog man. And the angel was actually there to protect the guy who had killed one or two. He was there to protect him because the dog man, he said, was there to kill him. And the angel fought with the dog man. Of course, the angel had a sword and a knife, and he ended up killing the dog man. And after he put his sword through him, he ended up taking his knife out, long dagger type knife, and stuck it in through his head or his ear or whatever, stuck away in him and made sure he was dead. And then he ended up wiping off his sword, putting it back away, and saw them and talked to them. The angel stayed over where he was, but he said he was here to kill you. And I came here to protect you. And they thought somebody was doing this on a TV show or something, but it wasn't. It was just the angel, the dog man, and the two of them. And they kept looking around for cameras or anything, couldn't see nothing. And it was just amazing that it was real. And the angel took the dog man by the leg and drug him off, took him with him. Took him back to heaven or whatever, to the porthole where he had come through. And Yeah, it was an amazing, amazing, amazing show.
We thank Wyman for sharing about his 2015 timeline of Bigfoot activity on his homestead. This is the first timeline that Wyman had created because this timeline represents when he first started to put all the pieces together about what was actually going on the property. Future timeline episodes will be so full that there won't be time for extra side topics at the end like there was in this episode, where we learned about near-death experiences and Dogman hunted and killed by angelic being witnessed by Dogman Hunter, a podcast that Wyman tells us about. And that is on YouTube by Dogman and Paranormal Research with Jeff Nadolny, spelled Nadolny. The future recordings about the upcoming timelines are so full because they are 12 months long each, with Bigfoot activity throughout. At the end of each timeline episode, if we get caught up talking about more of what would be considered Bigfoot updates, well, those will easily transition into standalone episodes. So, hey, we look forward to any extra chit-chat. Thanks for listening.